Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I think something very bad happened to her. I really, really do.
This comment from Sharon Cooper, the sister of the late Sandra Bland, speaking to NBC over the weekend, contains a lot more meaning than simply those 12 words. I think something very bad happened to her. I really, really do. In the days since Bland was found dead in a cell in Texas, questions persist. Initial autopsy results found the cause of her death in the Waller County Jail to be suicide. There's been much discussion of how quickly the traffic stop escalated. And while white Americans ritually ask, hey, wait a minute, this is bad, of course, but we need to know more, African Americans say the simple facts are less important than the credible assumption that for every African American, any traffic stop can set in motion a chain of events that could easily mean death.
I think that it highlights the concern of many in the black community that a routine stop for many of the members of the black community is not handled with the same professionalism and courtesy that other people may get from the police.
That's Attorney General Loretta Lynch speaking on ABC's This Week over the weekend. Lynch is choosing her language carefully, but she is underscoring this fear among African Americans that an encounter with police can mean eventual death. It's a fear Roxane Gay, the author of An Untamed State and Bad Feminist, wrote about for our partner, the New York Times, over the weekend. Gay says Bland's death has been a deeply unsettling reminder of an everyday reality for her.
I think that we don't know how to contend with race and the legacy of oppression in this country, or frankly, anywhere in the world. I mean, every country has issues of oppression. But I think we have to start doing better. And part of it is accepting our privilege and not demanding sort of subservience simply because, you know, someone is wearing a uniform. Looking at the history of police violence, especially in the past 2 years, that a cop would expect that he deserves respect when his fellow officers have behaved so atrociously is just silly. But we just have to figure out a better way to talk about race and to do something about the prejudices that we carry. And I do believe that everyone carries prejudices with them.
Is it your assumption, and is it the assumption of almost any African American, that if you get taken in by police, you could end up dead, just like Ms. Bland?
Increasingly, unfortunately, I think we do start to believe that. And I think we've known it for a long time, but we've seen so much evidence this year of black people being arrested and not coming home. It doesn't matter what you do. You can be law-abiding. You can still get arrested just for being black in a country where your presence is resented. And so it's more than a fear. It's this uncomfortable burden. It's this uncomfortable reality that we're forced to live with. And it starts to shape how you see the world. It's hard to be optimistic in a world where you feel endangered.
And it goes beyond profiling, that essentially society and the burden of this slavery and the slave master mentality. It means that law enforcement has a kind of permission to deal with African-American bodies in a certain way.
Absolutely. They seem to feel absolutely empowered to treat black bodies as if they're nothing, as if they are disposable. And that's no way to live. And on the one hand, people say, well, you should respect law enforcement, but respect goes both ways.
That fear at the moment of arrest is also something that could produce emotional reactions that could easily be interpreted as some kind of defiance or, I don't know, could easily contribute to the instability of the entire event, right?
Well, absolutely. And I think it's also absurd when you look at the video from the dash cam when Sandra Bland was arrested. She answered the question he asked her, like, you seem irritated. Well, of course, there's nothing pleasant about getting a ticket. And so this idea that we're supposed to be meek and docile and happy to be pulled over is offensive at best.
And if I were pulled over, I would be annoyed.
Yes.
But in her case, when he asks, are you annoyed? The answer to that question is actually very deep. I'm not only annoyed, I'm three or four or five other things, right?
Right. I'm annoyed that I'm being pulled over because I was moving out of your way because you were speeding up on me. I am worried about what's going to happen to me because this could quickly escalate. Oh, my goodness, this is escalating. What do I do? And I'm sure she was also thinking about her new job and how everything was just starting to go really well for her, and now here she's getting a ticket, and then now she's being pulled out of the car, and she's being held to the ground, and she's telling the officer she has epilepsy, and he doesn't care. So these kinds of things are deeply emotional, and it shouldn't be that way. We all get traffic tickets. I like to speed, and so if I speed and I get pulled over, that's fine. I've done something wrong. Give me my ticket and I'll go about my business. But it doesn't get to be just that mild infraction. And sometimes we get pulled over for no reason. We get pulled over simply because we are Black and we are driving.
Ta-Nehisi Coates, in his books, tries to focus this on a physical thing. This is not about culture. It's not about language. It's not about anything other than this power of white privilege versus African-American bodies. And a lot of people have taken offense at that and said that's way too extreme. Where do you stand?
It's not at all too extreme because we live in our bodies. And it is about the privilege that white power has over the Black body and the fears that we are forced to carry within our bodies from day to day, because time and time again, we see that white privilege, white power, white supremacy is determined to eradicate the Black body. You don't have to apologize for privilege. You don't have to feel ashamed of it. It's just something that you have, but at least be aware of it and be aware of how it shapes how you move through the world and how the lack of privilege will also shape how other people move through the world.
Well, let's talk about your body for a moment and how your encounters with law enforcement cause you to have certain very special fears.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrote about that.
Yeah, I'm 6'3". I have tattoos up and down my arms. I'm larger. And so I often worry, because sometimes people call me sir because they're not looking. I'm like, sir, do you see my breasts? What the hell? I worry that I will be mistaken for a Black man. And I hate that I have that worry, but it's very real. And people look at me and they don't see my PhD or my best-selling book. They just see a Black body that is imposing, and they read danger, and I'm just going to the store.
And so Sandra Bland, nobody saw her new job, nobody saw her bright new future.
Absolutely. And, you know, she was just in her car. She was just wearing a beautiful summer dress. The more you think about what happened to Sandra Bland, the more senseless it is. It forces Black people to remember what it's like to live in a Black body.
Roxane Gay is author of An Untamed State and Bad Feminist. She's a contributing opinion writer to our partner, The New York Times. Roxane, thank you so much.
Thank you.